What is going on, everybody? And thank y'all all so very much for spending your day here with us on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, my friend, my bestest bread in the world, and published author, Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio enjoying the gold medal victory of the men's hockey team. Look, I've never seen it. Now, while I've been alive, it happened, but it was like, I was like 3.5 when that happened.
Guys, y'all need to see his face. He's been lit up ever since that day. He's been walking on clouds.
I have loved how the brothers to the north can't take an L. You know, I'm just I'm basking.
And they hammered you.
Oh, yeah, I was getting memes sent to me all week.
He was getting all kinds of stuff fired off at him until the game.
It was a great game.
And then after the game, have you got any more memes?
No, I haven't heard nothing.
Hey, so speaking of published author, that's right, folks. The book's out.
Yes,
it's out. The book is out.
Finally!
You can get it. It's out.
I want to apologize because, like,
You should.
We've been talking. No, it had nothing to do with us. It was the publisher.
To me. Oh, I thought you was apologizing.
We've been talking about the book for almost a year, and it just seemed like it never was going to get done. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it went. And boom, 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 in like
done.
2 weeks, it was done.
Done. Yeah.
So it's out. It's on Amazon. You can get it in paperback. You can get it in Kindle. You can get it in audio.
We didn't get to read it.
We didn't get to read it. Wasn't
in audio.
Our choice.
But we might. We might find a way. We're working on this.
And also, we will be selling autographed copies, but you have to buy that through us.
Yeah, because now we got to get them in, then we got to do it.
I've got an order already. What we'll probably do is just like we would do with if we ever had a t-shirt. Is what
we've talked about for 13 years.
Email us or message us. We'll take the orders. We'll charge the fee, and then I'll order them from the publisher, and then, of course, we'll sign them and then ship them off.
Yeah.
I think we're only going to keep it, though, like maybe U.S., Canada. I don't know, because last time we did that sticker giveaway.
Yeah, that was a bad move. Yeah, it's probably better that we,
I don't know, though. If somebody,
we'll just have to play it
if somebody's
ear.
Willing to pay for the shipping, I mean, then you can be anywhere. You could be on the moon for all I care.
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to do a giveaway, too. For we'll Patreon listeners.
I'll run down to the jump room, take it up to the moon real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Pop in there in my jump room.
Oh, yeah. You ever like those stories where you fight for Mars?
I love those stories.
These wars that are
going on. Look, I'm going to be honest with y'all. This, with all the stuff, and y'all know, we don't ever get into that. You know, it doesn't happen here. Kyle and I are laid back. We don't get into that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, with all the conspiracy theory stuff coming out and looking to be all true, I'm wondering if those jump rooms aren't real.
Yeah, man.
Bro.
More and more as time goes on, more and more of these conspiracy theories are turning out to be real.
It's messing me up, man.
Did you see the photograph of that UAP they took recently?
The one that looks like it's like a steampunk ship floating in the air?
It's like I'm in 4K.
I'm down. If that's real, I'm down to clown. I want one.
That's the hardest part about now with AI is like, is that a real picture? I don't know.
I say no to every one of them. That's the problem is when I see it, I'm like fake. Like, I don't believe any of it
anymore. I don't
either. And I wish I wasn't that way. And I wished it hadn't become that way in this world. But it did. And I hate it because I want it to be real. Right?
I remember when we were at the Ducks Unlimited Expo in Memphis, we were there hanging out with Clay and the guys. And I remember saying, all these Bigfoot hunters, they need to just stop now because it doesn't matter how good a footage you find.
Yeah.
No one's going to believe it because of AI.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Right?
It's going to be real tough.
Even on that image that we're talking about, I saw where somebody had ran it through an AI filter and it said that it was like 98% chance that it was a real photo. But that could be easily faked.
I don't want to know that.
You know what I'm saying?
But what I do like about that photo is it goes back into what you and I have talked about at length. I like the idea of my spaceships looking all steampunkish and not like Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah, so you were just talking about conspiracy theories. What if like the Sonoran Aero Club years ago was like they broke off a society?
Well, it's
and
like
that's
we
one
discussed.
Of their airships. And they're,
yes.
You know, they're living beyond the ice wall.
They're living
or they're living underwater or something. Dude, what if that's a real thing?
I like to believe it is because I still love that crazy adventurous ideas growing up watching all that
man,
stuff.
Man, I want to live beyond the ice wall.
They wouldn't have you.
Yeah, I know, but
I wonder if there's any good hockey teams beyond the ice wall.
It's got to be.
The ice wall, ice bats. Like, there's got to be something crazy. I need to look at what they claim the names are. I've got a picture of that. There's like of the continents beyond the ice
wall.
Oh,
they've actually got the continent's name?
Oh, yeah. They've got all kinds of stuff with it. You know, I don't know. With the Admiral Byrd stuff, I have no idea what's going on. But look, before we go any further, I found an old story. We have talked about years back which it's funny to say, it's 13 years that we're going to be actually 14 years of doing it, 13 on air this year.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. So this is what it is. And I haven't even told Kyle anything about this. He has no idea what I'm bringing up, but he's going to love it because we talk about this and some of y'all probably haven't heard it. So I'm just going to sprinkle it in. It's short. This took place in 1929 in Hertford, England, in the UK. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Close encounter with an unidentified craft and its occupants. One object, about 2 feet across, was observed by two children in a rural area for a few minutes. A sister, 5, and a brother, 8, were playing in a garden one morning. At the date, the road was a lane. At that date, it was just a lane. And it was just two pairs of houses, one of which was the kids' home. Behind the houses was an orchard. As they played, they heard the sound of an engine. Years later, the sister would liken it to a quiet version of a trainer plane. Her brother and her looked up and saw, coming over the garden fence from the orchard, this small biplane, which swooped down and landed briefly, almost striking the dustbin. It remained there for possibly just a few seconds and took off and was gone. But in that short time, the girl had a perfect view of the tiny biplane, but also the perfectly proportioned tiny pilot wearing a leather flying helmet, who waved at them as he took off. Neither she nor her brother spoke of the strange sight until years later. She estimated the wingspan of this tiny aircraft to be no more than 15 inches, and the tiny pilot was perfectly proportioned. It's the little gnome pilot.
Yeah.
There he is.
There are these strange accounts. Yes. For whatever reason, they seem to come out of the UK. These little tiny airplanes with little pilots in it. It's not the first time I've heard that.
I love the story. No, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, that is the story that Kyle and I had told. This is at least 10 or 12 years back.
Where the heck did you find that?
I was just randomly looking online, and I'm like, man. And then for some reason, of course, I'm always looking at gnome stories, reading up on, you know, the Fae and all. I can go in and do serious looking for things. And then the minute there's like a gnome or a little people encounter, I'm just like a dog when a ball rolls by, right? I'm like, oh, and then I'm gone down off in there. And that popped up and I was like, there it is. That's the one that first led us into finding the one where there was one where it flew around and stayed around them, flew around and waved for a while, always around children, which is odd. It's like they can see it better. Then there was one that we had covered, and I haven't found it again. I've been looking for it, where there were multiple planes that we talked about that come out of that forest, and they was like a group of 6. I think they were students, all of them young. I want to say like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And they were like 4 or 5 of these planes come out, circled around through the trees, did all that stuff, and those kids saw it. But that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Is the idea of playing out there with your sister. You look up and you're like, what's that noise? And a little plane lands, and it takes
and
back off.
Waves.
The guy's like, what's up? And then takes off.
No, that's pretty interesting. Speaking of interesting, in the summer of 2009, a couple was driving east from Kenora, Ontario, towards Winnipeg, Manitoba, and they encountered something neither has been able to dismiss or rationalize.
A gold medal?
They said this sighting lasted only seconds.
Sorry, guys.
It altered their sense of reality and lingered in silence for years. Now, Carrie, who was 41 when she chose to come forward, stated that she and her partner of 11 years were traveling from Kenora to Winnipeg at the end of July or the beginning of August of 2009.
Not now, to stop you, but is the weather nice up there in July, I wonder?
Yeah, I bet it's really nice.
Does it get like brutally hot up? Like,
I'm sure it's warm, still warm, yeah.
But I bet it's beautiful. So this is beautiful, like midsummer weather that they're driving through.
Yeah.
Okay.
She says that both of them were professional artists who routinely made their trip to visit family. They closed their shop at approximately 6:30 p.m. and left for Winnipeg shortly afterward. Sunset was approaching, placing the encounter time between 7 and 8 p.m. They were driving along Highway 1, a divided stretch of road well known for deer activity. As a passenger, Carrie was scanning the roadside, and as she often did, what first caught her attention was a strange black void interrupting the headlights of oncoming traffic on the opposite side of the highway. Now, initially, they assumed it was a deer. Moments later, their own headlights illuminated the figure. Now, according to Carrie, what appeared before them was a bald, black-skinned, unclothed humanoid form flying low. approximately at the height of their vehicle's headlights. She described it as a human-shaped but equipped with large bat-like wings. As the light struck it, the being raised one wing in front of its face as if shielding itself from the glare. She noted that the wing membrane appeared thin and veined, similar to a bat anatomy she had tattooed in her professional work. The skin looked textured rather than furred. The entire event only lasted seconds, and by her estimate, when the creature crossed into their lane, it was within roughly 6 feet of the vehicle. She believed its body length was over 6 foot tall, with wings proportionate to its size. Both she and her partner braked abruptly. She emphasized they both saw the same thing. The encounter left a profound emotional impact on them, and upon arriving in Winnipeg, they told their parents, expecting disbelief. Instead, both sets of parents accepted their accounts. The family priest provided holy water and reminded them of the phrase, "We walk in the valley of death," which took on a new meaning for her after the sighting. For months afterward, the couple avoided being alone, even inside their own cabin. Carrie described the experience as the most frightening event of her life, causing her to question her faith and her understanding of reality and her place in the world. It took at least a year before she felt comfortable being alone outdoors again in the evening. Now, over time, the intensity of the fear diminished, though the memory never faded. Years later, she sought similar reports and found drawings that resembled what she had seen, which provided some comfort. She later chose to be baptized, and to this day, she remains certain of what she witnessed and remains that no one could have convinced her anything else otherwise. So she saw this Jeepers Creepers bat-like creature, or her and her partner did.
You know what's funny about human nature? We know evil exists. We know murders and rapists and all of the horrible things that go on. But we're so used to it being people that we don't think of it as evil. And it's not until you have an experience like this where you're like, oh, it's a monster. You're like, evil's evil. It doesn't matter what form it takes. Evil's evil, right? It's just, that's just bad. But it's funny, like, it's almost the minute you see it in something you can't explain is whenever it shocks you like that. I don't want to see any of this flying humanoid business.
No, I don't either. But
I
it seems
love
like it's
the stories, but I don't want any part of this.
And it seems like it's more popular in that region of North America. I mean, Winnipeg and, you know, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Ontario, all that. It's a north of Chicago and all
maybe
that.
It gets too hot down here for them.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like you come down to Texas, you see more gargoyle sightings. In Florida, you see more gargoyle sightings, but not like these Mothman, Batman things.
And there is so many folks. Kyle and I have sat down and talked a lot off air, just us hanging out, BSing. There are so many encounters and sightings and just all the stuff that happens in and all around Illinois, Indiana, all of this area.
I got another one. I got one here from Pennsylvania.
Oh, here we go. Dude, Pennsylvania's a spot, man.
June 15th, 2021.
Ooh.
Says, was not just another Tuesday for me. I'd taken the day off on purpose. I marked it exactly 1 year since I lost someone I deeply loved due to a breakup. I needed to stay busy and active, so I spent most of the day playing basketball, trying to get back in shape at 45. I played twice earlier in the day and went out for a third round as the sun began setting. Afterward, I went home, showered, and headed into my bedroom. I started a pot of coffee. Yes, I keep a coffee maker in my room. When it was brewing, I walked over to the window of my third-story apartment, which faces north. It was 8:45 p.m. The sky towards the northwest was glowing purple and pink as the sun dipped below the horizon. When I turned my head north, I saw something suspended in the air. At first, I thought it was some oddly shaped balloon. That idea disappeared immediately because this, whatever it was far too large. Then I wondered, man, is that a kite? That did not make sense either. My mind tried to rationalize it as a man in a Batman outfit, floating dead, still in the air. That was the only thing that remotely resembled what I was looking at. But the longer I stared, the more I knew that this was something that should not exist. It was completely black, with wings fully extended and two legs stretched downward. From wingtip to wingtip, it was at least 10 foot across. From the feet up to what I assumed was the head, though I could not clearly see one due to the angle, it was about 7 foot in length. The legs appeared close together, possibly crossed. I could not make out the details of the facial features. There was definitely something where a head should have been, but I could not distinguish it clearly. It hovered approximately 50 feet from my window and about 20 feet higher than my viewpoint. Later, after the sighting, I walked around the area to better understand the positioning. It had been above a building across the alley from me. Just beyond the building is Calvary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, along with a parking lot and a bus stop. After retracting the sight line, I realized it was most likely hovering directly above the church property. That realization stayed with me. It was June. It was early evening. There is no way I can believe I was the only person who could have seen it. I've often wondered if anyone else noticed it that night. The wings were aligned north to south, and its feet were pointing east. For roughly 2 minutes, it did not move at all. It was frozen in the air, wings fully extended. Then it began a slow, smooth, 180-degree turn counterclockwise. The motion was controlled, and I could tell it was deliberate. I searched for a head or facial details as it turned. There was nothing there, but the lighting and angle obscured it. After completing its turn, its feet were pointing west. It began gliding slowly towards the east. The wings, well, they never flapped. They did not twitch or flex. It moved as if on invisible rails. After gliding approximately 7 feet, it executed a precise 90-degree turn. Its feet were now facing south, and it continued gliding north until it drifted out of my view. The entire encounter lasted about 7 minutes. During that time, everything else seemed to disappear. I heard nothing. I felt nothing. It felt like time had stopped. My eyes were hyper-focused on it. I experienced every emotion imaginable all at once. Shock, fear, awe, confusion. After it was gone, I sat in my chair for nearly an hour trying to process what happened. I kept thinking, I should have grabbed my phone. I have binoculars just a few feet away. I should have grabbed those too. But at the time, those thoughts never crossed my mind. I was watching something that was not supposed to be real. Every year since then, on June 15th at 8:45 p.m., I make coffee and look up at that same spot in the sky, hoping to see it again. I've never fully gotten over that woman I lost, and I've not gotten over what I saw that night either. Life has felt strange ever since. Something shifted in me. My entire belief system has changed. I now believe monsters really do exist. I believe Hollywood makes movies about creatures like this, so the public dismisses them as fiction. I believe humanity has been lied to. Maybe governments are covering up these things because they cannot explain them either. Maybe they do not know what they are, why they are here, or where they come from. Before that night, I never gave any serious thought to Bigfoot, Dogman, mermaids, trolls, or any other unexplained creature. But now, I believe the people who say they have seen something extraordinary, I believe they did. I can pass any polygraph test. This happened in reality. Anyone who knows me personally knows I am telling the truth. I've only shared this story face-to-face with two people. An older farmer who believed me completely and said there are things in this world we will never understand. And a young guy in his 20s at a Goodwill store who was wearing a Mothman t-shirt. He told me he wished he could have seen it too. Not a day goes by that I do not replay those 7 minutes in my mind, Terry.
Oof.
Floating there. But again, what is it with the wings not flapping? Remember, this is a common theme.
Well, we're always more geeked out when you find out when we get stories where they do flap.
Yeah, because
I can honestly say, and I'm not 100% sure, but I bet we have less than 10 stories where their wings were seen flapping and they were heard.
Yeah, most of them.
The rest of however many stories we've covered, they just glide around. It's a little bit wonky. But look, I got one thing to give you. You're going to like this because you've been to where this takes place, Fort Hood. Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas, folks. If you don't know, look it up. I'm sure most of you probably do. Tanks. That's all I'm going to say. Tanks. It was founded in 42. It was started for tank training grounds so they could battle the Germans, right? That's what the whole thing was for. It's home to several parts of it. It's also home to the 1st Cavalry Division, right? Which is which is pretty awesome because that's what one of my grandfathers was in the cavalry. Uh-huh. The reason I tell y'all all this is because this is just an interesting thing. First of all, Fort Hood has got some strange stories that take place all around the water, all up in the thing, in the trees. And it's a big place. I think there's like 30,000 people live on it.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Like it is a large, it's basically a town in and of itself when you go to Fort Hood. So Reston sent this in. It says, so 10 years ago at around 6 in the morning, I was outside smoking a cigarette. I had taken acid the previous night, but was already done with my trip. And so I'm trying to come down. So I'm smoking, relaxing, and all of a sudden my eyes become fixed on something in the distance. Now, this looks to be around 7 foot tall. And it turns out slowly human shaped. It starts looking completely human shaped. And then it sets in on me that it's transparent, like the cloaked version of the predator. And it's just staring back at me. So this is in Fort Hood. He's in Fort Hood out there when he sees all this. I figured, okay, I'm still hallucinating. That's what's going on. I just treat it as such. This is just what's happening. No big deal. I'm just looking at it. So I just keep watching it. This is what happens. It just mills around out there for a solid 60 seconds, maybe a minute. And then he says, just moves off. He said, no big deal. Years later, after this happened, he said, I'm online and I start finding reports of transparent beings.
Mm-hmm.
And it started making me question whether or not what I saw was what I had done as a young man, or was it something else? Now, keep in mind, Fort Hood is a very creepy place with a lot of weird stuff happening. I don't know if it was still part of my acid trip or I actually saw a glimmer man.
Yeah. It could have been both.
It could have been both. Maybe. Now, and Kyle and I have discussed a lot of this off air. When those people start talking about when you start taking DMT, you start getting into the psychedelic stuff to where it opens up your third eye, whatever you want to say, and you start seeing things you normally shouldn't be seeing. Maybe that's what opened the veil, pierced the veil for you. I have no idea.
That's right. The cloaked beings that walk among us. Things are there.
That's
it. You just don't see it.
That's it.
Yeah, well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we'll be sharing some more Glimmer Man sightings. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. All right, I want to talk to the men listening right now.
Heads up.
So, fellas, listen up and see if any of this sounds familiar. We're all getting older. Heck, Cam and I are both grandparents now. Time flies, and as the years stack up, your body starts changing whether you like it or not. When I hit 40, I started noticing things weren't the same. The diet that used to keep me lean, well, didn't work anymore. I hit a wall at around 2 p.m. every day. I just feel wiped out. I feel tired. And I remember thinking, this can't be normal. I'm 40. I'm not 80. So naturally, I do what we all do. I went down the internet rabbit hole trying to figure out what was going on, and one phrase kept popping up over and over again. It was low T. So I started asking myself, is that what it is? Is that what's changing my body? Is that why I feel drained every afternoon? This year, I decided I'm not just going to accept it. I'm turning the clock back and making things easier on my body the natural way, and Cam's doing it with me. We started taking Mars Men, a powerful natural testosterone support stack designed to help your body optimize its own usable testosterone. And here's what I like about it. You get the benefits of optimized testosterone. You get better energy, strength, focus without shutting your body down. No synthetics, no needles, no dependency. It's not about replacing your system. It's about supporting it. Think of it like hitting the reset button on your body's hormone factory instead of shutting the whole thing off. Since I started taking Mars Men every morning, I've noticed a real difference. My energy is steady throughout the day. I'm more locked in at work. And it's not that quick spike and crash you get from coffee or energy drinks. It's just a consistent drive. And it's made right here in America. third-party tested, and backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So there's really no risk. Worst case, you don't absolutely love it, you get your money back. But here's the thing. Over 91% of the users report higher energy levels. Thousands of guys are seeing real results. Just check out the reviews on their website and see it for yourself. If you've been feeling off, if your energy isn't what it used to be, maybe it's time to look into it. Don't just accept feeling older. Take control of it. Check out Mars Men and see what it can do for you.
All right, guys, that's right. For a limited time, our customers get 50% off.
Yes.
For life, plus free shipping and three free gifts at mengotomars.com. It's a perfect way to kick off the new year strong, to get everything ready to go. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts when you check out. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard from them and about them. So please support the show. Tell them our show sent you.
All right, folks, we're back here.
Let's do it.
With Expanded Perspectives. Yeah, because in celebration of the new book coming out, we decided to share some of the stories that come from that book. And if you have any sightings of your own, especially with Glimmer Man, do not hesitate. You can send them to the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. I'm sure after the book comes out and lots of people read it, we're going to get more sightings.
We'll make a second one. We'll pile up and make a second one.
Yeah.
We've already been asked to do it with a bunch of other stories.
Yeah.
Like we've been asked from the people, you know, people that have already, you know, perused over it was like, you guys should do it with more stories of stuff that you get in. So maybe we will.
And we got a lot of interviews lining up.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going to go be on a show like we're important or something. This is ridiculous.
Well, let's get into the first one. It says, I had an experience on Sunday, May 17th, 2020 that I thought the two of you would love to hear about.
Yes.
Here's a little background. I'm 36 years old and a military police veteran of 10 years. I've had some weird things happen to me that I can't explain. And then I've had some others that I can't explain. I'm skeptical of the paranormal, so these experiences bother me greatly. I don't worry about how people may perceive me when I tell others some of my stories, because after being a cop for 10 years, you know what you see, and the facts are the facts. I've asked if you had the chance to see any creature, which would it be? Well, that night, I'm pretty sure I saw the damn Glimmer Man. Now, any other night, my girlfriend and I would have gone to bed at the same time, but I ended up staying up later due to having to get my daughter from work late at night. I got home and stayed up until around 1 a.m. My girlfriend went to bed maybe an hour earlier. I went through my usual routine. I checked the doors and windows to ensure that they were locked and then laid down. I usually toss and turn throughout the night, waking up for a few minutes before returning to sleep. I sleep on the end of the bed, furthest away from the bedroom door. I have blackout curtains over my windows, so my corner of the room is very dark. Our neighbor leaves her porch lights on, so light pours in through our window. On my girlfriend's side, she prefers to have a little light shine through. On her bedside table, she plugs in her phone so you can see the light periodically shine whenever a notification comes in. As I turned over to face her side of the room, that's when I saw it. This wasn't a let me focus on whatever this is. It was an instant, what the hell is that? Now, I don't care who you are or what you've done in your life or how bad you think you are. When you're in a vulnerable state and face to face with something that shouldn't exist, everything goes out the window. I've been in convoys, high-risk traffic stops, and patrols in Iraq, but I've never experienced any fear that compared to this. It had to be at least 6 or 7 foot tall, and it was kind of wide. I say that because my girlfriend's phone notification light illuminated the corner next to the head of the bed. I could see its right hand, shoulder, and arm, and a little bit of its side. From what I could see, especially in the shoulder area, it looked like it had on some kind of, I know this sounds silly, but small shoulder pads.
Tango's in the wire. Right? Open fire.
It's nothing big like football pads. So it's kind of like ice hockey pads is what I would say.
Oh,
but imagine baseball knee pads on your shoulder, something like that. When the light hit it, it did have that predator look with slight glimpses of reds, blues, and purples maybe. Just like it was somehow distorting or bending light. I couldn't see the legs, chest, or face area because I guess the light wasn't strong enough to reach it. What was even more scary was that it was moving while standing next to my girlfriend, like it was touching her somehow. It would seemingly reach over to her nightstand, grab things, and then turn back to her, doing all this quickly. Maybe there was something else there that I couldn't see. Now that I think about it, imagine laying on a gurney and being operated on. That's what it looked like it being the doctor. I lay there completely frozen. Jumping up crossed my mind, and then I quickly decided not to. If this is real, I don't know the risks. Is this thing capable of reacting? Would I upset it? And something more severe could happen. What if I could see my girlfriend was sound asleep? While all this was happening, I was still in the same position when I rolled over and saw this thing. My entire body was hot, and I could feel myself sweating. Now, I work out on the regular and have a pistol on my nightstand and a gun safe full of weapons in my closet no more than 10 foot away.
You don't want the light shining off of that thing when it comes out.
I'm not afraid to say as I lay there watching this thing, opening and closing my eyes to make sure I wasn't seeing things and something wasn't really there, a tear ran down my face, and it was because of pure fear. The whole sighting lasted about 2 minutes. From there, I closed my eyes and repeatedly said the Lord's Prayer until I couldn't see it. And that's when I got the courage to roll over. I slept like crap all night. I won't mention this to my girlfriend. It wouldn't help the situation. The less she knows, the better. Either this thing is real, or all of us who have seen it or something like it are going insane. Hell, they said that about UFOs, so look what happened. They're out there too. DP.
So it's wearing a pauldron, and it's in his house. I wonder if it's got that laser gun on his pauldron.
So, you know, this is, sounds very reminiscent to alien abduction stories, too. Like, could this have been? This, and this is one of the things with the Glimmer Man. We don't know what it is. Is it truly an extraterrestrial that's why it's cloaking itself? It has the ability to do that?
What if they're the collectors for the aliens?
Yeah,
they
maybe.
They're the ones that take you and bring you to the ship.
Yeah, but this is a rare sighting that actually happened indoors. Most of the sightings are outdoors.
Most all of them are outdoors, yeah. The indoor ones are very unique.
So that's where the line blurs, right? Is it an alien able to cloak itself? Is it a ghost? Because if you think about ghosts are like transparent, at least semi-transparent.
Yeah.
At least that's the way they're pictured in movies. I've never seen a ghost.
Well, because they're transparent. You wouldn't see them, bro.
But right, so that's when people don't know what it is. Is it a demon? Is it a ghost? Is it a spirit? Is it an alien? Or is it just some creep who's figured out how to cloak themselves? Yeah.
I just want that camo so I can hunt.
Anything to help me would help.
Yeah. The problem is I still probably am pretty smelly no matter what I do. So I could be awesomely camoed. Still got to be downwind.
A cloaked hex suit.
Now you're talking.
Scentlock hex suit.
Scentlock hex cloaking device.
Yeah.
That's what I need. That's exactly what I need. Well, JP needed one because listen to this. Idaho in 2019, y'all. Several years ago, I moved to northern Idaho. Growing up, I was always a hunter and was excited to live somewhere with a more dense forest and more game to hunt. So since I was new to the area, I went out with my coworker for my first few trips. Well, we became good friends and became really good hunting buddies. About 2 years ago, we went out for elk about an hour south of the Canadian border. We went out and scouted the area before we went on the hunt. We'd been hiking for a few hours through the dense woods when we came up on a small clearing. It was about 20 yards by 50 yards. And right before we entered it, I told my friend to stop. Something about the clearing just didn't feel right. He said, "You have a weird feeling too?" I said, "Yeah, it feels like it's almost like a trap." So we agreed to go around the clearing and continued trying to find a spot. So we ended up finding spots and marking them on our GPS. The following weekend, we came back to hunt. We had arrived about 2 to 3 hours before sunrise and started hiking in. We split to our spots, and after about 30 minutes of walking, I found myself in that exact same clearing.
Mm.
This won't be good. I no longer felt weird, but I knew I didn't really want to be there. So I ducked back into the woods and continued to my spot. After about an hour of sitting there, I heard something moving. Now, I could not see it, but I heard the leaves moving. Then it got quiet. Real quiet. There was no birds, no bugs. There was nothing. And that's when I saw it. About 30 yards east of me, something was in the tree. I looked at it, but I couldn't tell what it was. So I raised my rifle and looked at it through my scope. At that moment, my heart sank, and a cold chill ran down my back. See, I first thought it was the predator, or something from the abyss. It had a human shape, but it looked like it was made of water. I could see through it, but it was distorted. Now, this thing was crouched down on a branch like it was looking for something. So I texted my buddy and I said, "Get over here now, stay quiet, and out of sight." See, our spots were about 30 minutes apart. And after about 45 minutes, he showed up. By this time, the thing had left, but returned a couple of times, and now it was in a tree about 50 yards away. I said, "What is that?" And at first he didn't see it, but then he froze and his jaw dropped. We both sat there paralyzed with fear. After about 10 minutes, whatever it was, left back into the woods. Well, we hauled ass out of there like a lion was chasing us. I never looked back. I just kept running. We returned to the truck and sat there for a few minutes, quietly staring into the woods. We were not looking really for anything, just looking into the distance, each trying to understand what we saw. I started the truck and we did a quiet 2-hour drive home. No radio, no talking, just calm. He and I still need to return to the area, and we don't want to. We never felt in danger from it, but we don't think it saw us. Now, I don't know if it was looking for us or something else, but I don't care to find out either. He moved to Wyoming, and I now hunt in the South. I just found out what I saw recently. I heard one of you talking about it. I dropped my coffee and spilled it all over my truck. I saw exactly what y'all were talking about. I sent my friend a link to the episode, but he has yet to respond. I had no idea others had seen what we saw, but knowing we didn't imagine it makes me feel so much better. But now I'm more scared that it was real. JP.
Right?
Again, these are the types of stories. We get a lot of these stories, not just Glimmer Man stories, but a lot of emails and a lot of messages from folks, tons of emails like this. Like, "Hey, I found the show," or "Somebody sent me the link because I had told somebody," and it makes me feel better knowing I'm not the only one that's having it. So that's why we always ask y'all, no matter what you saw, what happened, what you might think is crazy, a one-off that you've never heard before, please share it, because you never know. You sharing your story might really help someone struggling even more with what they have seen, and it could be exactly the same thing you saw.
I mean, this is a safe space for you to share the stories. And you won't believe how many times people are like, "I thought I was the only one."
The only one. I mean, it's the one thing I think we hear more than anything, basically, is, "I thought I was the only one."
Yeah,
I thought I was going crazy. I was the only one. And then listening to that episode or reading that article or whatever it is, it come up and you're like, well, like he said, JP's like, "I spilled coffee. I legitimately dropped my coffee," which tells you just how much of an impact it had on him, of that fear. It's that PTSD fear coming back from that, where people, what was this?
People second guess themselves. Because if I think to a memory that I know is real from me being like 9 years old, it feels the same as when I'm remembering a dream I had. Like, it is, you start to question yourself. Did I really see it that way?
I mean, well, you are old and you have had a lot of head injuries. So, I mean, let's pump the brakes on that.
Oh, man. I got another one.
I mean, look, I'm not wrong.
No, I'm not. Do you hear any arguments?
Yeah, right.
No, I said, here, we got another one. I'm just moving on. California 2021.
California.
It says, "Please don't think I'm crazy.
Knows how to party.
In the San Bernardino National Forest, we saw what I can only describe as the creature from the Predator movies. This happened on Friday, October 1st. Location was," and then they give me some coordinates here, but you don't care about that.
Yeah, unless y'all want to go to this exact same place.
If you
want
to go to this exact place,
buy the book.
Yeah,
you could see it in
34
there.
34 degrees, 12 minutes, 43 seconds north. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand completely if no one believes this, because we are still unsure what the heck happened. But we sat down and came to a consensus on the events. We all agreed we witnessed the same thing. Three buddies and I were hiking in San Bernardino National Forest, various trails, mostly the known ones, and mostly during the day. Friday, we were making our way to Clark's Summit. And as we were walking, one by one, we noticed that we were veering off the trail slightly. I asked my friend why he was going off the trail. And he asked our friends who was in front of him. He asked them the same thing. The friend in front told us, "I can hear a woman talking. Do you guys hear that?" Now, we didn't hear anything. We tried to convince her to leave it alone because it was already getting dark, and we were close to where we wanted to set up camp on the trail. The friend in front is female, and she insisted what she heard sounded like a female calling for help, and that she sounded really close. So I think she felt inclined to investigate a possible female in distress. At the same time, we were okay with going about our business. Okay, I get a bit spooked now because she's, you know, earnest, and we could not hear whatever she was saying. Here's where it got weird. We only ventured off that trail about 300 or 400 meters, yet we were utterly lost at one point. We don't have any fancy gear or GPS stuff because we've never needed it before. But we've been on this trail enough that we know we've gone too far. Yet we couldn't find the trail in any direction after walking 15 or 20 more minutes. I started to feel weird. I started to feel dizzy, lightheaded. And when I mentioned this, the other two said they felt strange as well. Something had changed our environment or moved us to another location. I had no idea where to go. And now, well, now it was dark. My female friend said she could still hear the woman's voice, and it said, "I'm over here." And she heard it say, "Please help me." She said it sounded like she was hurt or crying. So here we are, somehow lost after only walking for about 20 minutes off an extensive trail because my friend hears voices. We decided to stop walking in any direction because that's the last thing you want to do as the night gets even more dark, is you'll end up being more lost. We had two tents and sleeping bags in our packs, so we found a clearing and set up. We decided to return to the trail quickly once the sun was up. Before we could rest, I noticed a tree near us was moving as if something was climbing it. It was dark, and I wore glasses, so I struggled to see and called them over to see what I was looking at. I thought it was an animal at first, but it wasn't an animal. It wasn't anything. I could see the outline of what roughly looked like a human shape, but it was transparent, like entirely see-through. The best way I can describe it is how heat waves look on the pavement in the summer, a wavy liquid effect. They saw it too. My male buddy said, "What the F are we looking at?" When he finally spotted it, they all said the same thing. It was transparent, but still visible due to the foliage around it being displaced and moving as it moved. We all stood stone still, whispering theories about what we thought we were seeing. I thought it was some type of optical illusion, but they immediately jumped to aliens. The thing just sat there, perched on a large branch about 50 foot up. It's like it was watching us watch it. The other oddity is that after staring at this thing for about 10 minutes, we noticed all the usual forest sounds we heard prior had completely stopped. The only noise was us talking and the leaves under our feet. The hairs on my neck stood up, and I had goosebumps when I realized something was wrong. After about 10 minutes of standing there, whatever this thing was, it climbed up the tree even more now, until now we could no longer see it. We approached the base of the tree slowly and walked around it in a circle with our necks craned up, trying to see where this thing went. It was too dark, and the trees were too close for us to see the top. We didn't hear it jump to another tree, so we assumed it was still up there. We were too spooked to camp right underneath whatever this was, so we gathered up our stuff and started walking. I kid you not, after about 5 minutes of walking, we were back on the trail. I dropped my bag and said, "What in the heck is going on?" We all stood there confused, looking around to confirm what we saw. My buddy likes to joke and said that maybe we walked through some type of hallucinogenic spores that had us all imagine what we saw. I highly doubt that. But whatever happened, it seemed predatory. It seemed like something was luring us or trying to confuse us. My friend still thinks we were messing around about hearing the woman that she claimed to hear. Was it that thing that we saw? Was it imitating a woman that was hurt or injured? How did we get lost so close to the main trail? This was quickly the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in the wilderness. We still don't need a good theory, we still don't have a good theory based on what we saw. It may not have been an alien, but whatever it was humanoid in shape, and it was 100% transparent. Somehow, and it was able to climb a tree considerably easily without making much noise. Has anyone else seen anything like this in the woods? Gee. So, I mean, it reminds me of the Puckwudgie story. Yeah. Where there's a nature spirit trying to lure you into the further off trail. For like what you claimed earlier is like maybe for a possible abduction.
Yeah, maybe.
Like it can lure you to this spot. This thing can grab you, take you to the ship.
Pull you to the other side of the veil and do whatever.
And it, you know, makes you wonder, is this what all the David Politis stories are?
It could be, yeah.
Is it the Glimmer Man abducting hunters and taking hikers? Folks.
When they just completely vanish, they just grab them and take them to the other side of the veil?
Yeah, maybe.
Man.
I don't know.
Those are extremely unsettling. Extremely unsettling. Folks, I got you one here from Georgia. And this is what it says. Now, this takes place southwest of the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to like it for when it took place. In the early 80s, I lived in a small town near the southwest of the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia. I was hunting on public land in the National Forest just up the road from home in an area known as Cooper's Creek. I hunted in and around this area for years and was very familiar with the terrain. So when I located a good spot to give me a chance at a large buck, I set up my lock-on tree stand about 12 foot off the ground. I was hunting with a 12-gauge shotgun since rifle hunting is prohibited in this area. So fast forward to early November. I'd been hunting in my tree stand several times, and this particular hunt was during the late afternoon. It was around 4:15 in the evening. I wanted to get there earlier, but of course work held me up. Now, this was Friday afternoon, and my wife knew I'd be home at around 8:30, even later if I actually bagged a deer. So I parked my truck at the trailhead and started hiking to my tree stand in the woods. The walk would take me about 20 minutes. So I moved slowly through the woods since I didn't want to spook any of the wildlife. So as I'm walking, I noticed how quiet it was. It was eerily quiet. So I finally arrived, I climbed up, and just settled in. I began to survey my surroundings, and I started to have a disturbing feeling like somebody was watching me. I just felt like something was out of place. Now, this is common in a lot of this stuff that we've been reading. You get this feeling. It's quiet, and you feel like something's off, right? So, after a while, I kept looking at my watch, wondering how long I had left until dusk. I should leave early because of how I was feeling, but then I caught movement off to my right side. So I slowly turned my head and began looking through the tree canopy. Oh, and that's when I saw it. It. See, I need to find out what it was. I stared into the tree and completely saw what looked like a giant human body, but it was completely blurred. Now, it was moving through the trees, and I could see the figure's outline, but the rest was blurry. I just couldn't focus on it. It resembled an out-of-focus blob of gelatin in the shape of a human being. Now, whenever it stopped moving, I completely lost sight of it as it instantly blended into its surroundings. But I continued to watch it stop and then start. So I do so for the next 15 minutes. But by then, I was becoming scared as I thought about my walk back to the truck. So I waited for another 15 minutes or so. It's getting dark by then. So I slowly climbed out of my stand. Once I hit solid ground, though, I wasted no time. Sprinted back to my truck, quickly jumped in the cab. I just sat there in the truck trying to regain my breath. I drove home and said nothing to my wife or anybody else about any of this for several weeks. Because this whole time, I was trying to convince myself that I had just imagined this whole thing. So I eventually told my wife one evening. She listened and said that it was probably just my imagination. So I later told my brother, who said something very similar to my wife. And then I never told anyone else. I never hunted in those woods again. I didn't even go back for the tree stand. I took a break from hunting, actually, for about 5 years. And then I started up again, but never in that area. Now, I still wonder what I saw that day, because I have no rational explanation. A few years later, in 1988, the movie Predator was released, and I immediately tensed up in fear when I saw the cloaked alien on the screen. That is exactly what I saw. I was shocked. Did I just encounter an alien? See, I still wonder what it was that I saw that day. Now, I no longer hunt, and I no longer spend much time in the woods anymore. P.L.
Yeah, I don't know if I would either.
I don't, yeah.
That's why I don't want to see anything like that.
I don't want it to ruin the fun that I have, right? And like we said, I know someone, we know people that have had things happen to them in the woods and they completely stop going.
Yeah, I don't want to see a Bigfoot either. I want to just see like a gnome, like a little tiny gnome.
I would just like to see a big buck. I'd like to see a big buck.
I'd like to see a decent sized buck. Right. Like I'd take small racks. I don't care. As long as it's legal.
You rocking 130 legals all day, right? Like just bring them out. They all taste the same. Bring them out. Yeah. But yeah, I do not want to see that because again, I do not want it to ruin the fun that we have in the woods.
I agree.
Because we make jokes, but it's no lie. Kyle and I joke about this every deer season whenever we're hunting, whether I'm texting him in the stand in the mornings or at night or vice versa. It's hard to forget all the stuff that we cover and you get caught up in the moment. And then there's always one time all of a sudden it comes creeping back.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, put it out of your mind.
I've got a recurve bow, which yep. I'm not very good at on a line.
Dude, you could kill
in broad daylight.
You could easily shoot your bow at the predator, at the glimmer man, if he was 15 yards or closer.
Yeah. Even that.
I would have better luck. You know why he would never attack me like the Predator attacks other guys in the movies, even though I'm holding a weapon? Because he knows I'm not very good with it.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah, well, I've got another one here.
Oh, this here took we place go.
In Colorado in 2012. Says, back in 2012, I was working for a small security company. We were contracted to work at a tourist location called Broadmoor Seven Falls near Colorado Springs in the Cheyenne Mountain Canyon area. I remember shifts being grueling because we were in direct sunlight until the afternoon and the evening. On an average shift, we were expected to walk a minimum of 7 to 8 miles between the base of the parking area to the top of the falls. Rarely were we allowed to use the guest elevator for the handicapped and the elderly. The park was on a hilly incline, so walking the top down was okay, but bottom up was exhausting. In the evening, near the base of the falls, native Ute or Cheyenne tribal members or dancers would perform, and we had to monitor the crowds. Area tribes were frequented these falls for centuries and were still considered spiritual. So it was the native tribes that pushed for the performances. Since Seven Falls is considered a state park, at the end of the night, we would sit at the main entrance into the falls at the bottom of the canyon and monitor the toll booth. During weekends and holidays, we were out there until 3 a.m. On several occasions when waiting for the end of my shifts, I always had occurrences that made me feel like I was going to get attacked by either an animal or a person. We would hear hissing sounds, sometimes groans. Sometimes there were glowing eyes, either red or white, but larger than aerial wildlife. These could be seen from behind the bushes and tree canopies. But what stuck with me were the shimmering humanoid shapes we would sometimes see. The shimmering was otherworldly. I always described it to my family and friends like that of the Predator, the film Alien, when it cloaked itself. My first work firearm was an older Smith & Wesson semi-automatic single-stack pistol that was my dad's when he worked for a local police department. But I still felt I was defenseless. I watched the shimmering silhouette crawl to the toll booth on the asphalt. After that, it appeared to stand upright and extend a long, waving arm. This looked like an entity between the physical and the celestial realms. As I shifted my weight to get a closer look, I was struck by the glowing reddish eyes. I then watched the entity as it jumped into a tree no less than 20 foot away. From here, the entity jumped again. A broken branch fell from the tree this time, creating a loud crash. The entity looked back one last time before going over the gate and disappearing into the park. In May 2022, an old coworker and I ran into each other at Walmart. We decided to go to the nearby diner next door and talk about the good old days. During the conversation, he asked if I had ever seen the Predator and its camouflage at Seven Falls. My blood ran cold. He then told me about his experience on the shifts that I'd never heard of. After leaving the diner and arriving home, I sat in the driveway momentarily contemplating what inhabits that park. PP. So, you know, is the tribal dancing causing these things to appear? These spirits or maybe. Whatever they are?
Yeah, maybe.
Again, the Glimmer Man never seems to attack anybody, or at least we never hear anybody that's got attacked and survived. It's always like observing. He crawled on the ground and then it stood up.
Yeah, why is it being so sneaky if you can't see it? That's even more.
Crawling prone.
Maybe it didn't know it had its camo going. It's like, oh, it can't see. I don't know. Yeah.
Like, what was that thing that was crawling around the ground we had to fight in D&D last week? Remember that thing?
Yeah, I don't remember what that thing was. It put a beating on us. Yeah, I died last week.
I don't know. You're fine. You're back. You're going to come back.
I don't know if I'm fine, but yeah, I'm back. Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know, man. The Glimmer Man.
Well, we were talking about the ones that don't make sense. Is like, I don't know why seeing them in the woods makes more sense to me.
I don't either.
I don't know why that is.
I know. It's crazy, right? When you try to, like, I'm crazy that I rationalize some sightings versus others, right?
Yeah,
and I don't have any idea.
I don't know why.
I'll entertain a rake sighting, but then, like, if a guy sees the Loch Ness Monster, I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yes.
It's just a big turtle. But I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one, because we get people in chats and stuff that Bigfoot people are arguing with alien people. Yeah. And alien people are arguing with Bigfoot people.
Exactly.
It's like, look, we don't know what any of this stuff is.
We have no clue. So, this is one of the little odd ones I'm going to share with you. This comes out of Canada back in 2018. It says, my encounter is about something called the Glimmer Man. I'm from Southern Ontario, Canada. And it would have been mid-July of 2018. My boyfriend and I had spent a day in Toronto at a few restaurants, had a couple of drinks throughout the day, decided to head back to the hotel room early just to crash. So I woke up at about 5 a.m. or so. Now, I do wake up reasonably early, but not this early. So I was trying to go back to sleep. Now, there was some light coming in from the windows at dawn. The curtains were drawn in the hotel room, but the light was still creeping in. And I noticed that I could hear it. It was my boyfriend talking in his sleep. So I looked over at him. There was about 3 feet of space between where my boyfriend was lying on his side of the bed and the space between the wall. As I continued to watch, I distinctly made out a humanoid form. It was rocking back and forth. I didn't know what to think. Maybe I was just tired and I was imagining this. But then I saw a pair of eyes manifesting on the face of this being. As I watched, its eyes turned a bright yellow. Then the being crouched down and out of sight. Then it suddenly popped up right beside my boyfriend. I saw a shimmering hand reach up and cover my boyfriend's face, then pull back when my boyfriend started making a gasping sound. Then it happened again. I started shaking him, but he wouldn't wake up. The being then stood up and started walking around the bed towards my side. I immediately jumped out of bed and headed towards the bathroom. I entered and slammed the door. I yelled for my boyfriend to wake up, and he did not respond. Then I heard him gasping again. I opened the door and saw the being lying on my side of the bed. I stood and watched it, again yelling at my boyfriend to wake up. Then suddenly, my boyfriend woke up and let out a horrific scream. He looks at me with wide, terrifying eyes. I looked over to my side of the bed. The being was gone. My boyfriend tells me that he had an awful dream that someone was trying to smother him. And I just broke down crying. I told him what I had seen, and at first, I didn't think he believed me, but the more I talked, the more he realized that his dream was similar to what I described. We quickly packed our bags, checked out early, and drove home. Since that day, my boyfriend and I have been married. We bought a house and plan to start a family soon. But I occasionally see the same Glimmer Man. I believe he hitched a ride back with us from Toronto. He isn't always here, but seems to show up at the most inopportune times. What should I do? Can this being be removed? Is it a spirit or an evil entity? LL. I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, right. That's the
problem. I wish we had answers. I wish someone had answers. But again, this thing is now in the room with them, not in the woods, in the room messing with this guy. Now, it could be that the Glimmer Man was staying next door and he was just talking a lot in his sleep. And he's like, that's enough. I'm going to go over there and freak this guy out a little bit, smother him up to wake him up. Like you reach over and pinch someone's nose, right? Like, all right, open your mouth or whatever. Is that what it was? Or is this thing really now attached to them? Because we don't really hear stories about these things being attached to people and following them over and over through. We've heard it with Shadow Men. Yeah. We've heard it with other
Hat Man.
Exactly. But we've never heard it with a Glimmer Man sighting.
Right. And maybe they're all the same. Yeah. Maybe it's the same phenomenon.
Yeah, maybe it is.
I don't know. That nobody knows.
That's the problem.
Right.
Right. Is these are like this unique thing, well, of these individual things.
I mean, I made sure to put that in the book that if you're looking for answers, you're not going to find any here.
They're
this
not
is
in
just
here.
Shared stories.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what it is.
Have no clue.
I do know that it's time to take a break.
Oh.
Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
This episode of Expanded Perspectives is brought to you by IQBar.
Yes.
Our exclusive snack and hydration sponsor. Look, y'all, I know life's hectic, right? Especially this time of year. You're working, you got family, right? You're in the studio with us, like everything and everyone's pulling you in all directions. It's easy to forget to eat right or to even get protein your body actually needs. And that's where IQBar comes in. Before, I like to start out my day, whether no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm going to hunt, whether I'm going to work, whether it doesn't matter what I'm doing, even just hanging out, even when we go to the hunting blinds, I carry them. I always bring a few of the IQ bars and the hydration packs in my pack.
I'm drinking a hydration drink right now.
Oh, there he goes, right? Look, it's quick, it's easy. And it also helps us know that we're kind of fueling our body the right way, right? Now, you might be asking yourself, guys, what exactly is IQBar? Well, we're really glad you asked. See, IQBar is a better-for-you plant protein snack. Simple. It's made with brain-boosting nutrients designed to refuel, nourish, and satisfy your hunger without that bad, brutal sugar crash later on. And you all know we need brain-boosting nutrients, right?
Yeah.
IQBar products are, you ready? Completely free of gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners. That making them a clean, natural snack you can reach for any time, right? And the new year gives us all a clean slate, a chance to turn frustration into fuel and power our days with intent, focus, and IQBar makes it that easy. The ultimate sampler pack is a perfect place to start. You'll get 9 IQBar protein bars. You get 8 IQ Mix hydration sticks. You get 4 IQ Joe mushroom coffee sticks. Everything IQBar makes is clean, label certified. It's packed with ingredients that support both mental and physical performance. You get magnesium, lion's mane, other brain-boosting nutrients. Throw IQBar's plant protein bars in your bag, y'all. They're loaded, right, with fiber, packed with protein, and again, have zero added sugar. You hitting the gym this year? Well, take your IQ mix to rehydrate. Zero sugar electrolyte drink. That mix helps improve your mood, your focus, your clarity. And if you're all ready to upgrade your morning routine, you've got to check out IQ Joe. My wife loves it.
That's what you said.
It's a mushroom coffee designed for mental clarity with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine. And it comes in flavors that are honestly better than most brewed coffees you go buy. We've tried just about all kinds, maybe all of them, but close, of the brands out there. And then, of course, our wives, they always get involved. So yeah. Trust me when I say that an IQ bar is our favorite plant protein bar by far.
Yeah, some of my favorite flavors include the salted caramel chip.
Yep.
I like the chocolate sea salt, banana nut, and I like wild blueberry.
The wild blueberry I'm on to, man.
And their hydration mixes, everybody knows me as Big Fizzy, so I'm constantly pouring that in the fizzy water. I like the Arnold Palmer's, man. Word. I like the peach mango. I like the passion fruit. And for the IQ Joe, my wife likes the toasted hazelnut, yep, and the vanilla spice, but they got other brands over there, other flavors, I'm sorry, like Cafe Mocha, even Original Black.
It's pretty good.
Head on over to their website, take a look around, and grab a variety pack. You'll save when you bundle. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our listeners 20% off all products, plus free shipping.
Free.
All you have to do is take that phone that I know is in your hand and text the word EXPANDED, EXPANDED. You text that word to the number 64,000. That's EXPANDED to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Fuel your brain, fuel your body, and start your day the smarter way with IQ Bar. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
There you go.
I got another one here before we get out of here.
Hit me with it.
This takes place in Tennessee.
Ooh, I love Tennessee.
It says, hello, around 1994, that's when we graduated high school.
Stop.
I was living near Nashville, Tennessee, in a small neighborhood called Antioch. This is in Davidson County.
I think we drove through that last time we were there.
I'm sure we did, because
pretty sure.
Let's see, we landed in Nashville, and we hung out, but we stayed in Franklin.
Yeah.
Right.
Drove down to Memphis. And then, of course, you and I drove all through the Nashville area. We were playing disc golf. We were just being knuckleheads. But
all the Civil War battlegrounds and stuff. It was really cool.
That was awesome.
It's a beautiful place.
That was awesome. If I know that that's going to be around that area, I'm not going.
It says, I was walking my dog one day, letting it do its business out in the front yard, when I could see or sense something was watching me. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and everyone there was at work except me. I could feel something watching me. You ever get that feeling? I started looking at the woods directly in front of me. I didn't see anything, but I did hear leaves rustling in the trees. So I started looking up towards the top of the trees. The only way I could describe it, and I don't even know if the movie had come out yet, was the cloaked alien in the Predator film. Yes, the movie had come out by then. In the movie, they see that invisible creature where you can see the outline of everything, but you can see right through it. That's what I was seeing. It was sitting up in the very top of the trees where it shouldn't or wouldn't be able to hold the weight of a man by any means.
Yeah, that's common.
This thing was as big as a man. It just stood there looking at me. I saw it quickly flash its eyes. It was a sudden bright yellow glow. I let go of the leash and this thing descended on a dead run across the top of the trees. I know what I saw. While running, I thought about what I was doing. I then thought, what in the world is this thing? I stopped, and it stopped about the length of a football field away from where it started. It turned around and looked at me with those flashing yellow eyes. And then it took off out through the woods, through the top of the trees, out into the deeper woods. I didn't see it again. It scared the hell out of me. I never told anybody about it because I thought people would think I was crazy. B. So again, like, what was the crouching tiger, hidden dragon, where those people are like running through the tops of the trees?
You can't do that?
That's what this thing's doing, but invisible.
Running, yeah. And again, sometimes it's like they knocking branches out of the trees, right? And
right.
Then other times it's like the tree doesn't even react to it being there.
Right. It's as if it's not
like
there.
It's weightless and can just move through there. Could you imagine having the ability to climb trees and it just like with the greatest of ease, leap from tree to tree and not disturb them and be invisible?
No.
Bro, sign me up. I need some of that.
That is crazy. Well, if you have any other crazy stories you'd like to share with Cam and I and the listeners, do not hesitate, especially if it's Glimmer Man stories. We'd love to hear those as well as any others. You can email the show expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
Heck yeah.
Let's not forget about our hotline, 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD.
That's right.
And call the hotline and tell your story. If you don't feel like typing it all out, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the Glimmer Man book. It's available on Amazon and paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. And like I said, if you want an autographed copy, just message Cam and I. You can email the show. You can message us on Patreon or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, hop on Patreon. It'll probably be the best place to get us.
Tell us you want one. Tell us where you live. We'll figure out the shipping, and we will ship you a signed copy of our book. I've already got a bunch of them coming from the publisher, but I'm sure we're going to have to order more.
Yeah, we'll have to.
And like I said, we're going to do some type of giveaway. I haven't figured that out yet. But that'll be for our Patreon listeners. That's right. If you want more Expanded Perspectives, you can go to Expanded Perspectives Elite. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectiveselite.com. And you can also give the gift of Expanded Perspectives.
That's right.
patreon.com/expandedperspectiveselite/gift. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
More story times with Uncle Ham's coming. I've got a bunch of other stuff I want to share.
That sounds
amazing.
Been
digging into it and getting them kind of compiled and broke down from all the stuff that we've had sent to us as of recent. That's about it, basically. I know the weather's going to get a little damp, but I'm hoping to get a little time behind the string. I have some pigs coming by my spot.
Yeah, you were showing me the videos, or the still pictures, I'm sorry, from the cameras.
We're going to have to set up a meeting with those hogs. They were causing problems during deer season, and I never could get on them because I have to come in the darkness, and now they're coming during the day, right? They're coming in around lunchtime.
Which
so
I like better.
I like it around lunchtime a lot better, so you might have to go have a talk with some of
those
pigs.
I don't get so scared when I have to calm down afraid. The dark.
And not to mention, first of all, you're in the dark.
That's why I wish I could run across the top of the trees like the Glimmer Man until I get out of that thicket.
To get back to my truck. Yeah, that's 100%. Well, now I'm supposed to go like track a wounded pig in the dark with a recurve, and there's possible Glimmer Men out here. You're like, come on, man. I got to talk myself out of this. Mm-hmm. And I know Bigfoot likes them. We already know that they carry them off. So like maybe if you shoot one, you're like, maybe Bigfoot will think I'm cool.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you'd be leaving a gift.
That's right. I'm going to leave a pig on the gifting tree.
You shoot the pig, you leave it there, and you're like, okay, Bigfoot, this is for you.
This is all you, brother.
This is my donation for the year.
Don't smack me. You can have any of them that I shoot. That's cool. Like, if you just tell me the ones you... In fact, if Bigfoot was to place an order, I would happily fill it. Like, you want a couple of little ones? Okay, just don't scare me.
Yeah, that's what... I shot that doe... And I know she died, but the thing
Bigfoot
I was...
Bigfoot took it.
Yeah. I wish you'd bring me the broadhead back. That's what I want back, is that tough head. That thing was like $50.
You're like, I need this broadhead back.
I still can't believe you found that broadhead you shot.
That's pretty crazy, isn't it? 4 years later, and I found it?
I mean, that is remarkable. Talk about a needle in a haystack. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't step on it. I'd been in that area several times.
You know, speaking of Bigfoot taking deer or pigs and stuff. That one that we'd looked for hours.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't explain how we never could
find it. Where it went?
I mean, we looked everywhere. We found blood.
We
tracked blood.
A lot.
And the blood trail was in circles.
Yeah, a lot. It was weird. I mean, it's white-tailed deer are incredibly resilient and incredibly tough. And it is... That is one of the times that I have shot something. Very few times have I shot them and not found them. Like we put in days, right? Like I hunted for that deer after we tracked them. I went the next day and the next day. I spent 3 days all day in that whole area just walking and gritting and just on X, just going through fine and never.
And that's
found
my point.
Anything.
And then 3 years later, you found the broadhead.
I found the broadhead
in the middle of a pasture.
Yeah,
that we crisscrossed a dozen times.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you could say the deer could have died over here and predation drug it over here.
Yeah, but there was no bones.
We never found predation.
Nothing.
We never found. You never saw buzzards.
Yeah,
you'll find a carcass. You know, you shoot one.
Oh,
legitimately,
yeah.
You gut your gut pile and all that.
Like I understand when the insides are gobbled up.
Yeah,
but like they don't eat hair.
No
don't
bones, eat
bones,
nothing.
Like there's, and it was just nothing.
Just a broadhead in a pasture.
Just the broadhead that was.
So it's almost
just
like
there.
Something grabbed it and walked off. And
like
it.
4 inches of arrow shaft and broadhead was all that was left because of what the way it went into the deer. And yeah, I have no idea.
At least you got yours back.
Yeah, yours is still out there. So Bigfoot's wearing it around his neck. It's got it as his little necklace.
All right, folks. That's about all the time we have for this episode. I hope everybody has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
there on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.